To Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I'm Tower and we are glad you joined us. All inquiries and correspondence of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Twitter using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, use hashtag Watchman. And you can join us on USA.life or MeWe by using hashtag Warn Radio. And Warn Radio is also on two new sites, Parler and Clout Club. And you can listen to our shows on the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, Castbox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Podchaser, and Deezer. And of course, you can listen to the shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And please take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They're inspired. He spends a lot of time in these, and they're anointed. And they're for this day and age that we're living in. This week, we feature Grace Going Forward From Here. Grace is a tool to access God's mercy, which flows out of His love for us. As we move forward in our lives, His favor or grace keeps us, guides us, empowers us through His Spirit and His Word. And Choice, Chance, and Consequences. Choice, Chance, and Consequences is for all people about decisions. Today in America, as riots, murders, and more rage through many of the largest cities, the ultimate question is this: when will all this stop? That answer could be very telling. And last but not least, America's Prophecy, Harbinger of Portent. America's Prophecy, the first time I mentioned these things coming upon America was in 1973. This has been a long path for me and those who have tread it by my side. And to read those articles and more, you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now I invite the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. Welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines.
Thank you, Tower.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Well, we're into part 57. Unbelievable. Part 57 of Isaiah's prophetic book.
You know, and all of our shows when we do these are 1 hour. Now, the main teaching is a little less because of the intro and the closing, but that's still 57 hours with some teaching in it.
57 minutes.
No, I'm figuring.
Oh, hour. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's a lot.
And so if you figure that and figure that we've got to go, we're in chapter 27 today. What that means is we've got 27 is 54. That's double plus some more. But it's really, you know, I find Isaiah has a lot to say to the church today. And so, you know, and this is where people don't understand. They think of Isaiah maybe, and, well, you know, that's just Old Testament. But there is so much here that relates to today that, you know, it just...
It's amazing, actually.
It is. And you know, and we've got basically up in our neck of the woods about three more months of fairly good weather. And, you know, you get down in some of the hotter regions, they really don't have a winter or a fall. But we do have seasons here, and we like fall around here because that's harvest. And there's a lot of good things about it, not to mention the fall feasts. So at any rate, we are here today. We're going to be starting chapter 27. So you got anything you want to cover before we do that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll do this
then. Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Yes, Leviathan Judgment, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 57. And we do enter in this one into the realm of prophecy in the end of days. It's really interesting how that works. But we're also going to be talking about Israel as well. So... Now, the three verses, now we're not going to get to them because we're going to deal with the intro to 27 and cover some of the prophecies for you to remember, some of the stuff. In that day, the Lord with a sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Now, if you look at chapter 27, and when you get into verse 1, in that day the Lord, capitalized, that's Yahweh, Jehovah in the English. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. It's amazing how these guys put this together. Of course, they're anointed to do so. And, you know, whenever we see this phrase, the Lord comes out of his place, and then, of course, it says to punish the inhabitants of the earth, we can find that in Revelation. We can find what we call the wrath of God. And a lot of people, when we get into talking about this, and I mean the interpretations within the churches, we have so many denominations, so many different sides here, that you can hear a lot of things concerning this. But when you look at this, the Lord is not just coming out to deal with Babylon and those powerful nations round about Israel at the time. Now, of course, Israel is not Israel at this time. Well, it is at the time that Isaiah is prophesying this, because he's telling it ahead of time. But when it actually occurs, which is after Jeremiah, Jeremiah spends all of his life warning Judah about what is coming, and Isaiah has already referred to it. And then, of course, you get into the point where Daniel, and I might add that it's kind of ironic that some of our greatest prophecies that we have come from Daniel, for instance, and he's in Babylon because Judah went into captivity. And it's amazing that even in captivity, God is able to give his people favor, and he still has, and Daniel, I call him a prophet by no small means. I mean, he has some dynamite. I'll tell you, as far as really looking at a lot of things when we refer to what a lot of people call the Antichrist, Revelation 13 calls the beast, and we have 2 Thessalonians 2 calls son of perdition. Nevertheless, we get a good picture of a lot of things here. But when it says the Lord comes out of his place, it just didn't happen then. But in Isaiah's prophecy, it's definitely something that's going to happen. And now in Isaiah 26:21, it says that, "For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Now, we covered that from the aspect of the blood guilt. Now, this is very important. And whenever you're talking about blood guilt, you can't discount, for instance, nations, including America, that has abortions, especially late-term abortions where they're killing the child. I mean, if they try to have an abortion on a child and he recovers, now in New York, among other places, they can kill him outside of the womb, let him die. Now, see, it used to be that if you're going to commit abortion and kill that in the later term, you had to do it inside the womb. You couldn't do it outside of the womb. Well, they made it to where now you can't hold them accountable for murder. But it is murder nonetheless, any way you want to look at it. Now, see, you may disagree, but it doesn't matter whether you disagree, because the bottom line of it is Sabaoth, the Lord, Sabaoth, is going to hold everyone accountable. Now, he's the Lord over all agencies, and every person, every politician, every judge, every portion of society that made decisions regarding others in a judge state. Remember, Israel went through the time of the judges as well, and they became corrupt. Not all of them, but many of them. And of course, when you go through the time of the kings, you see how nations go. You see the rise of good kings and bad kings. So if there's any creation anywhere that's ever been created, humans need a redeemer. And Israel needed a redeemer. And so we're going to be looking at three nations here represented by the imperial powers of the world at that time. But when we also say the inhabitants of the earth, there is coming a time when literally the inhabitants of the earth in these end of days are going to be punished. When the Lord punishes the nations in the tribulation. Now, of course, there's always somebody behind all this, some power. And, you know, we don't have to lack for finding an enemy. That enemy is Satan. And Satan utilizes human principalities, you know, human powers. And that's when you have a number of humans that are under the influence of Satan, for instance, to do certain things. And they create their power structure within a society, and you can't overcome it. And we have that power structure right now in America. We have a number of power structures that battle for supremacy here, and Satan is behind them. Now, one of the ones that openly admits to being God is George Soros. He's, now that we've had all this trouble in America and the riots, he's been donating a lot of money. It just came out in the news, I think, today. maybe yesterday, that he's donating $50 million to the Biden campaign. Why? Because he wants Biden to win. He wants the Democrats to win because they're pushing socialism and everything that George Soros is for. So if it means bringing down America, he's willing to do it. Now, this is the example of principalities, human principalities. There's that power. Now, Satan uses them to bring him down. Now, one day he will be here using the beast, and the beast will be infilled with him, his power. Now, today, though, we still find Satan hindering Israel and America and every nation he can do. And he does it in different ways, depending on his goal and what he's doing. But he's not there to be your buddy, but there are those that worshiping and following. We have Satan Worship, a big group of Satanists and Hail Satanists. They made the news the other day again, and these people are not new. They like doing that, and as long as they're alive, they're going to be glorying in it, but one day they're going to die if they don't repent. They're going to face the truth of this. I mean, if you're foolish enough to follow Satan, he'll let you. And, you know, a lot of that is rebellion and pride. And the bottom line of it is that, of course, the churches during times of prosperity have a tendency to become lukewarm. The scripture says sin and iniquity will abound and the love of many will wax cold. So we see that in the churches today, and when the church is lukewarm and cold, there's no miracles, no signs, no wonders, and it looks like the powers of darkness, the powers of Satan, are greater. I mean, that's the way it is. That's what it looks like, because the people of God, and the Lord tells them, he tells them in John 15, the vine chapter, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. You have to stay connected. You know, I mean, my Father's the husbandman. You know, we can't do anything without him. And so we look at that, and we have the Lord with a sore and great and strong sword. Now, you see, we are going to have someone literally coming with a sword coming out of his mouth. And in the apocalyptic vision of the return of Yahshua, the greater son of David, he comes with a double-edged sword out of his mouth. And that represents all he has to do is speak it, and they'll be gone. I mean, he doesn't have to wield anything. He just appears. And, you know, and that's how he conquers. God created everything by speaking it into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is Yahshua Jesus Christ. He is the Word incarnate. And when he comes again, he will have the Word written on him, and it'll come out of his mouth. See, when God had the heavens and the earth and everything created, he didn't have to do it himself. It came together. And so when we look at the Leviathan, you have Leviathan the piercing serpent, and Leviathan the crooked serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. It's kind of interesting when you look at all of this, because, and we'll get to it later. But you have these three things. You have a piercing serpent, which is the Leviathan. You have a crooked serpent, which is Leviathan. Now, when you're piercing, that's something like pointed. It goes in. When you're crooked, it means you're sneaky. You're you're not straight. And, of course, this crooked has something to do with the way it's describing him. And so we see here a judgment on Asher or Assyria and on Babylon and Egypt, which would be revealed as the world powers universally. Now, of course, it was Cyrus who was called God's anointed. actually came on down and was the sword that overthrew Babylon. And so when Babylon fell, Israel was redeemed, and they were no longer under its power. But it did take quite a bit in order to get everything done down at Jerusalem. But at any rate, so you have three powers there. Now, so if you remember anything out of Jeremiah, you know very well that he told the children of Israel to stay in Israel. Do not go down to Egypt, which they did go down to Egypt. And, you know, and Jeremiah had gone with them. They took him with them, probably figured that they would be safe with him. No, that's not the case at all. God can save Jeremiah and the rest of them can get killed. I mean, that's, if God intends that, that'll happen. Jeremiah was in Jerusalem when Babylon broke the gates down and he was inside. And they didn't do anything to him. They said, you can come to Babylon if you want. You can stay here because we know about you. And they let him go. And God said they would let him go. So make no mistake, you know, even the apostles pointed out the fact that God knows the difference between those who are wicked and those who are righteous. So whenever we're talking about judgment, whenever we're talking about whether you're in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, or whether you're in the New Testament, God knows those that are his. Now, if you don't care about that, well, I do. Because I want to know that God knows the difference between the bad guys and the good guys. Because the bad guys in the movies always get the bad deal. The good guys are the ones that always get the good deal. And in this case, when you're dealing with God and repentance, it means eternal life, it means forgiveness, it means a whole lot of blessing. But that doesn't mean we're not going to have tribulation. It doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. Now, there's no doubt that when we look at Israel and the judgment on both houses, the house of Israel, that's the 10 lost tribes of Israel, and then, of course, on Judah, which was Benjamin, and, of course, Judah, and, of course, it had the Levites, which isn't a tribe but a priestly group. They were the ones that made up the southern, made up Judah. And, of course, they were the ones that we're talking about that are going into Babylon. But then now we're at the point where they're coming out of Babylon, and God is announcing in Isaiah 27 there is going to be judgment. And this is something that we see when we're looking at judgments on nations. And I've mentioned this before, that when you look at this, you know, we talk about judgments, but, you know, as far as judgments on Israel, Israel had a judgment on the house of Israel and on Judah. Those were the only two that were sent into captivity. And then they were brought back in the land. They're back in the land now. Now, they don't have all the land, but they're back in the land. They don't have a temple. They can't do a lot of the things that they should have been doing, but they're back there. And so we have all this. And you know, I believe one of the reasons they don't have everything is because there is another covenant, and God is going to save them, whether people believe that or not. But at any rate, So we look at the two Leviathans. One is a piercing or a swift serpent. One is sharp, quick, you know, can do it. The other one is a winding. And you could take the crookedness. Well, they're not straight. They don't come right at you. They figure a way to bring you down. And you don't expect it. And then there's the dragon. And of course, when we look at these, we look at both of these, and we see them as symbols of great world powers. And at the end of the age, and the evil who will instigate them, and the one who will instigate them will be the beast himself. And of course, he'll have a false prophet, a second beast, and they will do signs and wonders. So that's going to go a long ways to instigating them and bringing them to the point When you have, for instance, a world full, and many of the Muslims believe they're going to be ruling the world, well, when this beast comes along, it'll be easy to snag all the Muslims and everybody else. I can tell you why, because unless you're written in the Book of Life, you are going to take the mark. That's all there is to it. You know, I've heard many people say that, oh, yeah, we know about the mark and we're not going to take it. Well, if you ain't born again by the Spirit of God and have repented and truly know the Lord, you're going to take the mark. That's all there is to it. You won't have a bit of choice in that. You will. That's what the Word says. So if you've been putting it off because you want to be wicked and evil or do whatever you want to do, it's time that you need to wake up. And so... we see the great powers at the end of the age as far as looking ahead and the evil who are instigating, but it also describes the powers and the instigators at the time of Judah's captivity. And they're captive at Babylon, and of course they're delivered by Cyrus, who is the Persians, and of course that's related very strongly to Iran because they've got a big temple to Cyrus. And he is well known. He had quite a few laws and stuff that he had made. Now, when we talk about the serpent, it's easy to find the serpent if we're looking at him in Scripture. One of the best ones is Genesis 3:1. Now, the serpent was more subtle. Now, when I look at the word subtle, I think up here of both these serpents. I think both of these, both swift or piercing, and the crooked or winding serpent. When we look at the serpent here in Genesis 3:1, he's a composition, more subtle than any beast of the field. He would be a combination of both of these. Now see, when we talk about the fulfillment of righteousness or even the fulfillment of darkness on the opposite end, see, Satan doesn't give out more power than he himself has. When he gives out power and favor in darkness, which is actually a curse, and they go out and they start doing stuff for the devil, they're only going to have so much. But now he's willing to make them billionaires and millionaires. He could care less, because money means nothing to him. You know, if you're into sex, sex means nothing to him. Everything is to corrupt mankind, every bit of it. It's revenge. It's pride. Now see, and he is the ultimate in darkness when we're talking darkness. And so he would have made up both of these because these represent nations. Now, one nation can be one way and another nation can be another way. But they're not all alike. They all can have armies, they all can fight, but they all have their own specialities. And so... the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, this whole thing in there is really interesting, but we're not going to cover it. Now, if we go down to Revelation 20, and we look at a couple of verses here. In verse 2, in Revelation 20, and it says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Now, of course, we know why he's bound, because during that 1,000 years is the millennial reign of Christ on the earth, where he fulfills his role as the greater son of David, who sits on the throne. Now, in verse 10, it says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And, of course, in Revelation 20, in verse 2, that's where we get the dragon, which is the serpent, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And so we have four names. We have dragon, we have serpent, we have the devil and Satan. So we have four names that Scripture points to as being the devil, as being the one who tried to overthrow God. The devil has come down among you, Scripture says. And so... you know, we have this battle. We have all this going on. But the thing that I really like about this verse, I mean, it's interesting because W.E. Vine has an interesting comparison. he compares Revelation 19, which is a segment of the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment, the coming of the Lord, and Armageddon. And he has that compared to Isaiah 26:21. And of course, that one I've said before, it says, "For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Now see, Revelation says the earth is going to reveal those slain. Nothing is going to be hid. And so we have Revelation 19 corresponding to Isaiah 26:21, which is the last verse of the last chapter. Now see, we're in Revelation 27, verse 1. And so the very next verse, "In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." Now that relates to Revelation 20, the coming of the Lord, the river of life. And so it's interesting. And it's not unusual for a lot of this comparison prophetically, because the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament, and the Old Testament confirms the New Testament. Because you can find this, and you know, I've done a lot of teachings clear back into Genesis and a lot of these things, and you can always relate them along the line wherever you go to the New Testament. You can always bring them in there, and that's why I say that when I teach the whole counsel of God. I mean, the whole Bible comes together. Because you and I are right here in this end of days, and we're seeing a lot of the things that Paul talked about what men are going to be like. Peter warned about the end of days. James warned about it. You know, I mean, we have a lot of the things that the apostles and the prophets warned about. But see, the thing you can also say is men through the ages aren't that different. The only thing is different is their technology and maybe some of their knowledge and how they live. But the innate sins and desires of man is the same within them. And of course, this is why you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and pride of life. These three things power the rebellion within the hearts of men, which is actually aided by the fact that you're a fallen, you have a fallen nature, and you have that sin nature. And see, many people think they're sinners because they sin. No, you sin because you're a sinner. Because we have that nature that fell. And see, that's why when you look at people that, well, you know, she's a prostitute, he's a homosexual, there's a thief, there's a murderer. Well, see, that does not make them a sinner. They sin because they are that, because of that nature. And Christ died to redeem them from that. And through the regeneration and the repentance, the regeneration and the infusing of your faith through grace, God will account it to you for righteousness' sake, and he can provide you with spirit to help you to live a life above all of that, to redeem you. That's why you hear a lot of people redeemed today that used to have all kinds of things. That's why Scripture says, among these were some of you. He was listing out the various sins that they did. It's not the sins that you used to do. If you're a Christian, they're under the blood. But when you go forward as a believer, these things are behind you. Now see, all of this is relevant. Now see, in the old, when we deal with Israel, when they left this portion, when they got out of Babylon, and God redeemed them and was bringing them back in land, they were restored. They were no longer going to be punished for what they did before. They were going to go back. Now, they're not going to have the same big temple. They're going to have a temple. And that's why the Lord tells them, don't despise the day of new beginnings. You know, I mean, this because it was a smaller temple, and they didn't like that. Don't despise that. You're back in the land. And so there's the fact that God can forgive, but there may be some fruits. No, you're not going to have that if you know. But God has forgiven you. And so the three great aquatic animals that we saw, the piercing serpent, the winding, well, actually the Leviathan, and the winding serpent, which is, they're both Leviathan, two different descriptions of Leviathan. And so they represent two separate kingdoms. Leviathan had different attributes, but they were related. These are Egypt and Assyria. And the dragon is located on the Euphrates, which twists in curves and serpentine like a... I used to set up a buffet that was a serpentine table, buffet line, and it twists, and it represented Babylon. And all of the powers were laid low by the Medes and the Persians under Cyrus. And, of course, you know, the devil is the one that gets the nations to go. He's the one that causes as much trouble as he can. And you know, I've said this many times when I talk of Hitler. You know, Hitler had some dark powers behind him. You know, we were talking about the, I think they called them the foo-foo fighters. That's what we call them today. They were glowing orbs that would circle around the bombers as they would bomb Germany. And they were different colors. They were all over the place. They didn't know what they were. They didn't hurt them. They were just weird. And so there's a lot of things that Hitler was right on the cusp of. He was on the cusp of nuclear energy. He was on the cusp of flying saucers. There's a lot of things that he was right there. He wasn't quite yet. But see, he couldn't have done that without the help of the devil himself. And the bottom line here is that I believe beyond a shadow of doubt that Satan himself believed that it was time for the Antichrist, you know, the evil one, to show up. And I think Hitler was his attempt to do that. And, of course, he was defeated. But, you know, Hitler had to be defeated physically. It took the nations of men. It took a world war. America was fighting both Germany and Japan. And, of course, and then when they got over in the Mediterranean, they were fighting, you know, the Italians. So when we get to the end, though, that we classify the big one, he will be the last Gentile ruler. And that's important because the times of the Gentiles are going to be ended. And Israel will no longer be deceived, deluded, as far as the Messiah. They will know the Messiah. And this is interesting when we look at this, that everything's moving forward. And all of them powers at the time, when you look at Egypt. Now see, Egypt, who had actually, you know, during the time of Jacob and Joseph and stuff, you know, they were able to find refuge there, and Joseph was the second in power. But pretty soon there came a ruler that didn't know him, and Joseph had died, and he became their oppressor, and God had to deliver him out of Egypt. Just like he had to deliver him out of the hands of Babylon. And then there's Assyria, who was an enemy. And this, of course, this is Nineveh. Nineveh went down. Nineveh repented, but 70 years later, they were destroyed. And so we're talking about a God that deals in nations here. And see, this is where you make your mistake when you think that God doesn't deal in nations. and even America, as bad as it is, or as bad as, you know, you have all these people, a bunch of punk kids out there, bringing low everything because the politicians don't have guts enough to crack down. And see, this is the problem you have. You know, a lot of the big cities are a mess. And of course, you have a lot of other powers who, in America, great companies who are now on board with Black Lives Matter. Because that's what we do today. Black Lives Matter. Well, I got news for you. God says all lives matter. And, you know, this is just a political ploy just to fit in. You want to fit in, you need to fit in with God. Forget all the political and other nonsense you're doing. Because if you don't straighten up and get your head out of the nether region, you're going to find yourself on the wrong end. And see, you know, the powers of men is never going to be sufficient enough to have a perfect kingdom. The powers of men are never going to be enough to make Marxism work. It'll never work. The only thing will work for a time, for 3.5 years, and it'll only be the first beginning of that, because the latter beginning is going to be tribulation like you've never seen. It'll be the wrath of God. And if you've taken the mark, hell hath no fury like a god upon the wicked who have not repented. See, he gave of his son and you reject him. He gave you love and you gave him nothing but hate. And this is where Isaiah calls out, I will choose their delusions and bring their own fears upon them. Now that's happening today, folks. Because when I called, you did not answer. Now see, God has been calling. He called Israel with all the prophets who came and delivered him messages. He spoke to all the nations in these last days through his son dying on the cross, calling to them. He sent forth prophets to deliver that message. He sent forth the church to give forth that message, to tell him, this is what you need to do. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Now see, when they fail to repent, this kingdom is going to come in here. And Paul describes this in 2 Thessalonians 2, because they reject the love of the truth. That is the gospel, and rejecting the Son and the Father. And there's one religion on earth that categorically rejects both of those, and that's Islam. Islam is well known for declaring that they're going to rule the world. But there's going to be a point when under beast number one and beast number two, they have to be revealed before you know them. And that's what it says. When they're revealed, when they come up, you'll see them. They'll come up out of the sea. That's the midst of everybody here, of the world. And see, all of this out of the fact that God delivered the children of Israel out of Babylon. Because nothing is what it seems when you're dealing with these things. So at the time of Israel, all powers were laid low by the Medes and the Persians under Cyrus. And I can tell you, when the Son of God comes again, every power is going to be laid low. All the nations are going to be laid low. And that kingdom that was created by the Dark One, and the Apostle Paul describes him in 2 Thessalonians 2 as the son of perdition. Now see, I reject the notion that he's someone else. He's not. This is the same one. But you have two descriptions. Paul calls him the son of perdition, and John calls him the beast. Now the beast is there because it tells you his root. He comes directly from the beast, or the dragon, or Satan himself. And the son of perdition is mentioned because he is described as leading them to destruction or to a delusion. And it's mentioned in 2 Thessalonians about that delusion, because they rejected what God had done by giving his son. That's the love of the truth. So we have two things here. And the whole world is on a collision course. And you're going to see this happening. Now see, with all this happening in America, there's a lot of calls about prophecy and about the coming of the Lord. There's many of them that are either pre-trib or mid-tribbers, which I don't blame them. I don't care if they're mid or pre. But, you know, the rapture ain't going to happen yet, so they can wait all they want to. Now, the Lord is coming back, but I don't worry about it. Now, I'm all for him coming earlier. Oh, man, so's Tower. You know, you want to come? Now we're ready. Let's go, baby. Let's get out of here. But it ain't going to happen like we've been taught. And even my former alma mater and the Assemblies of God where I was a preacher, they teach the pre-trib, and it's wrong. It's part of the 16 fundamental truths, but there's a lot of preachers that preach it. That's up to them. They want to preach that, that's up to them. I don't go there. It's not a big deal to me. I don't live on the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib thing. I live on looking to the Lord and believing he's coming, and that's it. You do what you want to. So Leviathan had different attributes, but they represent two different kingdoms. The dragon represented Babylon. And so the piercing serpent, I like that, piercing. You don't want to fight anything piercing. And crooked, I think of, you know, it's never what it seems to be. And that's the, you know, we were warned. The devil walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you look back in the Garden of Eden, he wasn't a lion. He talked to Eve, you know, friendly, tempting her to eat fruit. Well, how are you going to die if you eat fruit? You ain't going to die, he says. Well, that was true. She wasn't going to die. Physically, you know. I mean, she would go on. She could eat it, and she'd still be alive. And once she ate it, and she was still alive, well, she knew the serpent was right. But then she found out it had greater implications. And while the serpent in the garden didn't tell her everything and kind of coaxed her, and while he wasn't lying about absolutely everything, he was twisting the truth just enough to get her to do what he wanted her to do, which cross God. And that's what he's out even to this day, crossing the Lord God, getting men and women to sin just enough to get them in trouble. So the piercing serpent, Leviathan, Egypt on the Nile. Pharaoh is referred to the dragon of the sea in Ezekiel 29:3. And he's referred to the young lion of the nations and the whale of the seas in Ezekiel 32:2. Now, Leviathan, the crooked serpent, Assyria or Asher, Nineveh, you know. Well, Nineveh and Babylon both were really warring cities. And, of course, they would have had a lot of commerce. They had a lot of people that would do business with them. They were powerful. And one way to have a friend of someone powerful is do what they say, and you can take advantage of their commerce and their trade and everything like that. They were wealthy. Nobody would bother messing with them. And, of course, it stood on the Tigris. And, you know, you see these, sometimes you may see some of these pictures of these big snakes down in some forest region somewhere, rainforest. We see a long serpent moving along a long course and moving with intent to devour. And so, the dragon, the kingdom of the Euphrates, Chaldea, Babylon, the prophet here, and, you know, when we look at this, because we can see the end of days in a lot of these scriptures, you can take it from the prophet's view that in his writing, Babylon is the final form assumed by the empire of the world, and it relates to, you know, at that time, it was powerful. And see, if you look today, for instance, Israel, now she's a state, but she's encircled by the devil, by the serpent and his things. I mean, she has enemies all around her. You look at America. You know, many years ago, we used to talk about the fact that America is already encircled. That was long before today. And, you know, we have China, we have Russia, we have Iran, we have enemies on the inside, numerous enemies. And all you need is a real solid rebellion. And these other enemies are going to come out of the woodwork. So we see these things happening. We see this picture, not only with those at the time. And the thing of it is that when Mystery Babylon, because these others, you know, Mystery Babylon, I mean, Babylon was the thing. And then we go to Mystery Babylon. And Mystery Babylon is a mystery. It's not like Babylon, for instance, but they have some of the same spirits and the same darkness. Jeremiah 51, 12 and 13. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon and make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord has both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters and abundant treasures, thy end is come in the measure of thy covetousness. Now you can see some of the same languages. Now see, he's telling them to set up and make the watch, because that's where the watchmen are, and prepare to defend yourself and those that are coming into you. And in other words, it's not going to do any good. Because the next verse tells him, your end has come. Now, in Revelation 13, 1, he says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw the beast rise up out of the sea. And see, so we see this this form of this serpent, this dragon that is in the sea. And there they are, you know, Mystery Babylon. On the sand of the sea, the beast rise up out of the sea, had seven heads and 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. I'm not going to take time to really go through that, because I do have a Revelation series you can listen to. Revelation 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and they talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now there you go, waters again. Isaiah 17:5-6, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now that's exactly what Babylon of old was. But this is Mystery Babylon. This is even stronger, more potent, and more of that sleeking, piercing, crooked serpent that is just so powerful and deceitful. And that's really when we look at the woman. You know, all of the abominations she has. This is the fulfillment of wickedness here. Absolutely. Now, while Babylon of old was wicked, it's nothing compared to who this one is. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And even the angel wondered why he had wondered. And when you see pictures like that, it would cause you to do that. Because these are great. And what you see is the powers. You see this darkness. And even during the times of Israel. Now make no mistake, today we have the same darkness. You don't see it. Now you see some of its fruit. By the time you really do see it, it's going to be too late. Because the devil works like that. He doesn't give you a chance to fight. He encircles you, and then it's too late. And you're gone. Father, thank you for your word today, Isaiah 27. Help us to understand, Father, that you are in charge and that there is wickedness and evil in this world, but you have delivered us from it, and that in Christ he has triumphed openly over all principalities and powers. And even Israel will come to know the Messiah. Father, we thank you. Open up the hearts of your people. Help them to understand this word and this teaching. Bless them, Father, and watch over them and keep them. So we are, next week, we will be in verse 2. And we will go through these verses here. And there's a lot of different prophecies in Isaiah. It is filled. I don't think Isaiah missed anybody when he was prophesying. Tower, are you there?
Yes, but remember next week we're going to be on vacation.
Yeah.
So we won't be doing any shows.
And we'll come back
the week of the 10th, so we'll be here 12, 13, 14.
Yeah. It'll be a while, but we'll be back. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with the shows. And at that time, we'll be back in Isaiah 27, verse 2.
It's funny, you only got through one verse.
Well, I did that on purpose because I wanted to bring out these things and relate it to today.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, it is. And the language, when you see the language and everybody knows about Babylon, everybody knows about the serpent, you know, and all of this is just something we need to pay attention to.
Yes, we do.
And that's why you can go through Isaiah and you can find many, many things that relate to today.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. And Jeremiah as well.
But yeah.
We're talking about Isaiah, so.
Well, Jeremiah is. And, you know, Jeremiah is one of those books that there's a lot in that. Just a ton. It's amazing.
It makes you want to cry when you're reading Jeremiah because you can see America.
Yeah. Well, you can. You know, David Wilkerson used to say that anytime you're discussing Judah, you can look at the church. And many times that's true. You can compare. You know, we're not under the law, but the sins of men, as I said, are the same.
Exactly.
Things change, but the sins and the attractions upon men are the same because of the sin. We're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. I want to thank you for joining us whenever you do. We love you. We pray for you. We hope the best for you in the Lord. Stay safe and protect yourself against the evil. Good night, everybody.
And don't forget to go to warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Read the articles. Listen to the shows. We have a lot of different places you can listen to them. And if you need to contact us, you go to our website. You can contact us there. And look unto the Lord. Be safe. And take care of your kids, folks. Because that's the thing that the devil wants. Not just you, but he wants your kids. Until next week or next time, shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.